and to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Instead of dividing them with lies, we're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am not Jesse Lee Peterson. I am Sean. I don't know if that's hard to tell, but yeah. Happy to be here. Jesse will be here shortly, so stay tuned. Let's go right to the biblical question. Biblical question this week. Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? It's also Country and Western Tuesday, so I have a couple things I want to talk about, but we got some announcements to do first, and I want to talk about a little bit about communication, a little bit about being clean, you know, cleaning, disinfecting, being sterile. Some people think that, you know, it's a little OCD to do things that way, but there is a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to get Hassan's opinion. We love Hassan. And like I said, Jesse will be here shortly. So do we have the biblical question? Nice. Biblical question. Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Amazing question. What else? Country and Western Tuesday today. Let's play that intro.
Yee-haw!
Country and Western Tuesday.
Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to
what
me.
What the? Let the dogs out. Loose. Amazing. Amazing.
So we have every way you can watch and support listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. Listen line, if you can't watch the show live, 1-641-793-1500. You can call and listen to the show if you can't watch it live. If you are... whatever it is that you are doing. You can watch the show, Bond JLP on Cash App if you want to make a donation. And we always appreciate your support. What else? So, cleaning. This is my topic for today, cleaning. I was going to talk about something else, but we're going with cleaning. You know how Jordan Peterson says, clean your room? That's sort of his catchphrase, clean your room. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. If you are cleaning obsessively, and a lot of people would look at the way that I clean as obsessive, and I get it, you know, I like to keep things clean and organized. But my whole point in doing that is, you know, a building. If you're living in a building, if you're living in a house, if you have a room, if you have a space of your own that's inside, even like a campsite, you know, whatever. That represents civilization. That represents civilization. It's not just somewhere you live. It represents something bigger than what it seems at first. And so it's not the woods. You know, it's not the mud. It's not the dirt. It's civilization. So you have a, in my opinion, am I coming in a little loud? Good? Okay. In my opinion, you have a responsibility to have a certain level of upkeep for that space, for that area. And people's concept of what clean really means is sort of skewed today. They think, oh, well, I'll have the same carpet for 20 years, and I'll just vacuum it, and it's clean. No matter how many times you vacuum the carpet's not going to be clean. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you that. So you, I'm not saying that you have to spray everything down and, you know, take a sterile disinfection bomb to the place, but there is a certain level of organization and clean that you do have to have, in my opinion, if you want to stay healthy, if you want to, you know, not get sick. It might be just me. But next topic, we're going to move through them pretty quick. Next topic is deja vu. Does anyone know what deja vu is? If you know and you want to call in and tell me what it is, I've never gotten a clear answer to what deja vu is, but I have deja vu all the time. There's been weeks in my life where I've had it like multiple times a day for several weeks on end. And I've never gotten a clear answer as to what exactly it is. I don't know if it's from God. I don't know if it's from Satan. But, you know, I know what it is. I know, like, what it literally is. You feel like you've been in that situation before. You're having, like, you know, flashbacks. I've been here before. You literally feel like you've been there before. And I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I don't even know what it is. Why do we have that? Why do we have deja vu? Anyone know? Anybody want to call in and tell me? We got a couple calls on hold already. You can call in, too, 888-775-3773 if you would like to talk to me about anything. I'll remind you again that Jesse will be back shortly. He's taking care of some stuff real quick. He will be here shortly, so stay tuned. What else? You know, I think about Jesse growing up in the South, on a plantation in Alabama. And I think about rural life versus urban life a lot. I mentioned this on the show a bunch. But I think about the stillness that people who grow up on farms and people who grow up in nature, the stillness that they experience on a regular basis. And you know, huge chunks of their day are spent in sort of meditative stillness. You know, there's not as many people. There's not all those distractions. They can sit in a field free of distractions and just be in nature. They can be still. They can. It really is an opportunity for them to get to know themselves better. That's what it is. And rural living, in my opinion, is far superior. I know I'm not, you know, alone in thinking this, but rural living, in my opinion, is far superior than urban living. Cities are such a scam. It's not even funny. Like, people, they say cities are for people who can't make it in their hometown. So they go to a city and try to make it. But it's true. You know, like, they think, oh, I'll make more in the city, but it costs more to live there. So it's toxic, it's loud, and there are, you know, everything in a city is man-made. You don't have that sort of mystery, the curiosity of the transcendent parts of nature. So you can look around a city and go, that's made of metal, that's a bridge made of metal, that's concrete. It's all right, you know, right angles and straight lines. There's no straight lines in nature, you know. And you could just write it all off. That's man-made, you know. But in nature, you can't just explain things away in nature. There's obviously a higher power at work. It's just obvious when you're in nature. You can't just explain away the things you see. You know, you see a falcon come down and scoop up a squirrel, and there's no way to just say, oh, that's man-made. You know, you can't just write it off. And so it's clearly far superior, in my opinion. But the thing is, people don't do it because they think of it as boring. So if you have a young, let's say you have a young couple in a city that just got married, and they have a kid, and they want a better life for their kid, they'll stay in the city just because they're falling for the scam. You know, they'll stay in a city and think to themselves, oh, we'll make more money here, we'll do this, but the kid's not going to have as good of a life. And the reason why the parents don't want to move out into the middle of, I don't know, Illinois, is because they don't want to be bored. They think of that life as boring. Oh, we're so much quiet, and I can't do the quietness. You know, I need constant this, that, or the other thing, but it only gets you into trouble. It's ridiculous. And my this will relate to my favorite topic of all time. Communication, words, how we use them. You've heard me say on the show that we're all lying all the time because of the fact that we have to use words. Lying is important. We have to do it. Nice. We got some. Oh, we got a caller who knows what deja vu is. Megan from Oklahoma. Let's go to Megan.
Amazing.
I'll get back to the words and communication shortly, because I really want to make some points about it that I haven't made already. Megan. Go ahead, Megan. Hello.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, good morning.
It's good morning. It's good to see you holding it down. I love what you just said about a campground and or surrounded by the wilderness that represents civilization. That's very deep.
Yep, yep.
I like that. Also, Flat Earth Gang, I appreciate you.
Oh, Flat Earth.
Or True Earth, you know, whatever we want to call it. But, yeah, deja vu. Okay, so when I was a kid, it happened to me all the time. It happens to me less now that I'm older, but I thought it was some mystical thing. I, you know, thought it was like, oh, it means I'm on the right path.
Or, right, right.
This has all happened before. Or turns out I'm not a huge, like, relying on scientific, you know, mainstream whatever, but this seems kind of niche. When I heard it and I read it, I wish I could remember where, but it's a temporary lapse in, like, whenever we're going through life in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
every moment is happening, and it needs to be processed through your brain, and it goes through short-term memory, and then certain things get filed into long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes whenever you're going through life, your brain will have a little blip, and in the present moment starts getting logged into long-term memory in your brain, and it gives you the sensation as if you're remembering it or you've done it before, but it's just your brain being kind of dumb because we're all kind of dumb or whatever.
Really? And so this has been proven, you know, like where did you get this from?
I know. I wish I could remember. It was a long time ago. It was something science-y, some article, you know.
Yeah.
It was psychology class. It was something that, you know, maybe is questionable within itself, but it was my favorite. Out of all the things I've ever heard in my life, that's the one I was like, you know what? It does feel like that. It feels like you're remembering in the present moment.
We do have short-term memory. It's such a wild feeling. You know,
and
I know we know feelings come from Satan, so that makes me think it's not from God, you know, but I've heard so many different theories about it. My theory about it has always been that it's kind of hard to describe, but, you know, there's a lot to say about genes, you know, where you come from and your ancestors. So let's say that my great-grandfather was in a certain situation. You know, like I worked in theaters before this, and for multi-generational, you know, the same work for many generations. And so let's say my great-grandfather was in a certain situation in a theater, and I find myself in that same place. Wouldn't it make sense that his experience would come down through the generations, and now I'm experiencing that? But I think it's like I feel it as, I've been here before, but really it's just someone in my past who's been in that particular scenario before, not necessarily the same place, and obviously not the same time, but the same
kind of
scenario.
That reminds me of genetic trauma being passed down, like that they tested rats. You know, like they're afraid of the same things, even though they never encountered the same situations their grandparents did or whatever.
Right. So is it from God or no?
Honestly, I think that it might just be like a burp or a fart or anything else bodily. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really from either one. It's just our body working. Like, because we do have short-term memory, we do have long-term memory, and sometimes it goofs up. Sometimes it has a little hiccup.
Because some people
maybe it doesn't mean anything. Like, your dreams don't really mean anything. It's just your imagination, you know?
Right. Yeah, I've heard, the only other theory I've heard is that people who have seizures right before they have a seizure, they have, like, deja vu is a warning sign for people who have seizures.
Well, that could be their brain having a really, really big hiccup.
Right.
Like, yo, you're about to, like, have a hiccup on the ground where you're, yeah.
Right.
But, I don't know. I appreciate you guys. I'm really glad you took my call.
Is there anything else you got going on that you want to talk about?
I could probably talk to you guys all day. I want you to be able to talk about your communication.
All right. Nice.
I just love all your perspectives. I appreciate all of you guys.
Nice.
Thank you,
Megan.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Amazing.
Megan. Derek from Tennessee wants to talk about the city versus country living. Probably my favorite topic. Derek, what is up?
I 100% agree with you. There's no comparison between city life and country life. I always used to live downtown where I lived in Pasadena. I lived downtown Cincinnati, downtown Indianapolis. And I realized over the pandemic, I'm like, I don't actually like that many people. Like, I was always hanging out with people. I'm like, why was I wasting all that time?
Yeah.
And I just decided one day, I'm like, I'm getting out of here. And I'm about 40 minutes outside of Nashville on 2 acres out in the middle of nowhere. And I'll tell you the difference that it's made. I have bird feeders now, and I do like country things. And you know, Jesse's helped me get through a little predicament I've had lately. And when I do the silent prayer, I never have to worry about a train going by my house.
Yeah,
it's totally silent. I mean, I can't encourage people enough to get out of the city. Like, what a mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of my theory about it is our interactions with other people. So I'm not saying we come from monkeys, but this is part of my whole thought process about it is they studied chimpanzees, and chimpanzees will gather into groups of, let's say 100. And in that group is a clear hierarchy. There's a king. There's a king of the group. He has his, you know, soldiers mm-hmm. underneath him. The women fall under the men. You know, there's chaos, but it's tackled very quickly and physically, obviously, chimpanzees.
Yep.
And as soon as the group gets above 140, 150, it splits into two groups. The chimps can't...
Huh.
They can't... The hierarchy doesn't hold if it goes more than 150. So I think about... And I want to know what you think about this. I think about the small towns that built America. The small towns of 300, 400 people, maybe even like 1,000 people that built America. And in those small towns where people were born and died in the same town, they had their immediate family, and they had maybe, you know, a couple really close friends. Just a couple really close
yep.
friends, and then a bunch of people who are just what do they call it? Just people who they know, you know. But in a city,
right?
In a city, you pass 2,000 people a day, more probably. You pass people all the time, and you're quote unquote friends with more people, but it cheapens what friendship is. You know,
yeah,
I know.
Well, you're not even really friends with them.
Yeah,
you're not even really friends. You're talking to some guy at a bar. And you're like, oh, that felt real for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, now I'm just exhausted. And you just feel empty.
Right.
And
you don't,
I don't miss it at all.
You don't, you know, make eye contact with people when you're passing them. You don't say hello. You can go through an entire interaction at the grocery store and never make eye contact with the person who's checking you out. At the store.
People in the country, like, there's this little grocery store I go to. And they always like, how you doing, sugar? Like, that doesn't happen in the city. I love it down here. And by the way, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Is there something playing in the background? It must be my phone or something. I apologize.
I don't hear anything.
It's wonderful out here. And the oddest things happen in the country that I have never, like, I was 100% a city boy.
Yeah.
And I got out to these 2 acres, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to figure out how to mow the grass. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, you figure it out.
Yeah.
Somebody hit a deer in the yard.
Yeah.
And the neighbor came out and he goes, well, we're going to make some steaks out of this. You want a couple? I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll have some. Why not?
Oh,
man. You know, win in Rome.
That is awesome. So,
yeah,
have
for
you,
sure.
Have
so,
you,
anyway,
I agree
with you 100%.
Nice. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yep, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Amazing.
Brian, North Carolina.
Oh.
Brian.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on?
I want to comment. I want to give a little personal memory that I have from when I was a kid growing up in the country on the farm. And I can recall sometimes almost the whole morning, meaning like up leading up to noon. Well, we would get out of the house like really early in the dark, I guess sometime around between like 5 and 6. But from the moment you got out of bed in the morning, no one would say a word to each other.
Yep. Yeah.
Until maybe sometimes that would go like throughout the day. It was only if like maybe something was out of order, my grandfather would, you know, point it out and then we would move that way or whatever the case was. But for most of the morning, you're just to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of.
Yep. You call that, we call that meditative stillness. Without free of distractions, you're able to more easily just see the thoughts. You know, you're able to get to know yourself more. I mean, think about people, and you know what, this is deep too, because the order of God, you know, God in Christ, Christ the man over woman over children. People get a little confused about that. Well, you know, well, if the woman is over the children, you know, then she can, you know, tell them what to do up until 16, 17, 18 years old. And it's like think about back in the day when you had a nuclear family, self-sufficient, living on a farm, and the kids grew up quicker back then. They would be at an 18-year-old, I guarantee you, an 18-year-old back in the day, way back in the day, would be more mature than a 30-year-old today. And the reason why that was is because, and you're living on a farm, at 5, 6 years old, especially for the boys, they would be handed back over to the father. They would grow up with the father doing work. They would grow up under him. You know, they wouldn't be in the house all the time, even the daughters, you know. So they would literally, you know, it would be man over woman, woman over children, in my opinion, means literally kids, like 5, 6, 7 years old. Up until that point, you're gone. You're working. And then you're raised, you know, under the father, like in the father's image.
Yeah, man. I agree with that. It makes a lot of sense when you put it that way, but. Yeah, something about the silence.
Yeah,
is
same reason I love golf.
Oh man, exactly.
Same reason I love golf. The silence.
I love golf, man. Oh, maybe that's another thing to point out. You want to talk about how expensive golf can be? When you get into some of these, I guess, nicer cities. But I just found an absolute gem, man, in the middle of nowhere, not a power line in sight, and. The price is unheard of. Like, I told people the price. They're like, you're kidding me. It's that low? It's amazing.
Nice. So how's your game going? How's your swing? What are you working on?
Man, I'm not working on anything.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you, Sean.
Nice.
My golf game has transformed tenfold. Like, I used to try so hard to be really good. And, you know, granted, I got kind of far, you know, kind of making little tweaks here and there.
Yep.
But now, man, I'm going out there and I'm just enjoying myself. And really, I spend a lot of time just, you know, embracing the surroundings. And, you know, from here to there, I'll focus a little bit from this shot to that shot. But in between the holes, I'm not doing what I used to do, you know, trying to figure out what I did on that last one and turn my hand over a little bit more this way or that way. And hand to God, Sean, I have not shot above a 79. And I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time.
That's
I've just
great.
Been going out and golfing, man, and I've been playing some of the best golf I have my whole life.
That is awesome. And without – you didn't get a lesson for anything, right? Like a golf lesson?
I'm sorry. I have never taken a lesson.
Oh, wow. You know, I bet that Jesse's whole message about stillness would help anybody in any sport, but especially in golf because it's such a – solitary sport. It's you against the course. You know, it's not even you against other people. Like, it's you against the course. If you don't play as good as you want to, you have no one else to blame.
Yeah, that's what I love about golf is because everybody has the same elements to deal with. You got the same lies, the same everything.
Yep.
Just like life, baby.
Just like life. Thank you, Brian. Well, appreciate ahead, it. I'm going to move on to some other calls. Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. We're going on a break right now, right? Oh, no, a couple more minutes. All right. Wayne wants to say something. I'm taking all Jesse's calls. Wayne, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How's Texas treating you?
Oh, nice, man. We got beautiful weather. It's about 72 degrees. Just chilling, you know what I mean?
Nice. Are you in the north or south? Well, you don't have to tell me. I don't want you to dodge
yourself. I'm in Houston.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's north or south.
So I was just going to say that I'm actually from an island, from St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
And in St. Lucia, when we grew up, we had to say good morning to our elders. So, like, if I was walking down the street and I passed somebody and I didn't say good morning or something like that, you know, that would be frowned upon. And then when I came to this country, I started off in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be like an idiot saying hello to everybody I met.
Right.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. And up to this day, whenever, you know, like I meet someone, I walk past someone, I greet them. I say, good morning, you know, how you doing?
Right.
And they greet me back, you know.
Yeah.
And it just works out. Sometimes I greet somebody and they're like on freaking Planet Nine or something and they don't even notice that I even said anything to them.
Yep.
But generally, when I come, I bring my country with me, meaning I'm a country boy, and I say good morning, I say hello, and then usually they just reciprocate. So.
He's an island boy.
Hey, what up?
All right, Wayne, I want to continue talking about this for a little bit, but I think we're coming to a break.
All right, man. Hey, it was nice talking to you, Sean. Good job. Keep up the good work. You guys are doing excellent.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go anyway. We'll get to some other calls.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. Bye, Wayne. From the islands. All right. I'll do one more, and then Jesse should be coming back in shortly. Stay put. Jeremy, Oklahoma, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, you have a question or comment about the city versus country life, I believe?
Yeah, I was interested in hearing a little bit more about your take on that, coming from my situation, I guess.
Coming from your situation? What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean coming?
My situation might be a little different because, like I mentioned, I'm from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
the smaller city-like environment, and I also lived in the rural environment out in the country.
Yeah.
But my perception of a city life might be different from somebody that's like, you know, East Coast or West Coast city life.
Well, not necessarily because, you know, I've heard people say that the New England style town is the ideal setup for a small city, for a small version of civilization. So in a New England style town, you'll be familiar with it. I don't know if you ever saw like Halloween Town or some one of these movies where you see this classic town square. So
right.
It's like a classic town square style just box. So you have a park. You have the storefronts that line the park around the town square. Right outside of that, you have sort of suburban areas, you know, like Victorian houses. And then further out, you have farms.
Nice.
I have one more thing to say about that. Let me put you on hold.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Be right back. A couple minutes break here. Find a farm. Live on it. Be still. Cities aren't evil. But they will distract you. That is the truth. And
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
Welcome back.
Come on, man.
What the?
Just kidding. All right. Who are we talking to? Let's get the people the biblical question. What is it? One sec. Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? We got a couple calls ready to talk about that. Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Got the background there of a nice city. Well, that's New York City for anyone who doesn't recognize it.
Amazing!
Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Jesse will be back shortly. Stay tuned. For those of you who don't know, Hake Report, 9 a.m. right after this show. Joel Friday TV, 11 a.m. And The American Anchor Baby at 12 p.m. Energy on loan from God. By the way, shout out to the guys here. Ever since I got here, they've just been the most helpful, encouraging people I've ever met. They're great. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone just wants to help everybody else. Speaking of criticism, you know, it's tough to find a group of people who will tell you what you're doing wrong but not be angry at you for it. And it's tough to find a group of people where you can tell them what they're doing wrong and they won't take it personally, you know. And that's how people really get stuff done. So shout out to the guys. Appreciate it. Who was I talking? Jeremy, what's going on?
How you doing, my man? You doing good today?
Good. I was just talking to you, right?
Yeah, we were talking about city life versus country life.
All right, okay. So those New England towns, right? So some people say that even on a small scale, some people say that the Victorian house, the three leveled Victorian classic house with the you know, the porch, the wraparound porch outside, yeah, they say that is the perfect design for the split between public and private life. So it's the ideal design that you have the porch outside, obviously. You have a little bit more intimate public area inside with the kitchen and the dining room. And then it just gets more and more private as you go up. And so that classic New England style town is really, in my opinion, the limit for how dense civilization should be. I'm from New Jersey. It's the most congested state in the United States. It's the most densely populated state in the United States. A lot of people, very small area.
Nice.
But then you get a little more rural, you know, and you literally live in the middle of nowhere, and that would be a real challenge for some people. And this does link up to the whole language thing, which I'll get into shortly. But what's your reaction to all that?
Well, I appreciate your breakdown of that, and I think I've kind of came across a couple of images of that, so it resonates in my mind. So I thank you for that breakdown.
So
I guess my concern is,
go ahead.
Is when I was younger, I lived in what I call a city, you know, and it was bustling mm-hmm. at the time. Now that I have children now, and I've had my children not living in the city. We lived in the country when I was having our kids.
Nice.
We were having our kids. I have three total kids that live with me, and two that don't. But we've resided in the country for that time.
Mm-hmm.
What my concern is, I guess, is whenever I was younger, I fell in love with the city life. As I got older, living in the country life with my children, I missed the city life and the things that you were pointing at, saying, you know, I'm bored or there's nothing to do or, you know, it's too quiet. I feel like that might be a deception trying to pull me back towards the city life.
Of course.
But the only reason why I would even consider that is for opportunity for my children to make themselves into somebody. Like be around people that are successful in their own way. And
yeah, but what is that? What does any of that even mean? You know, make something of yourself, be somebody, success. You know, I mean, if there's a guy who grows up in this, who's born in the same town and dies in the same town, and he's the, I don't know, groundskeeper for the town his entire life, the guy on Wall Street who is about to get divorced and has seven kids who are all doctors who hate him, you know. Who's to say one is more successful than the other? I know that's like a classic sort of used argument.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
But that's the big lie. The big lie is that because you grew up in the same small town that you are, you know, going to expire in, that you're somehow less successful. That's the scam of cities. You come here and you'll
right.
make something of yourself. But the people at the, I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but the people at the tippity top who make these cities would rather us be doing that. They'd rather us be on top of each other, fighting each other. I mean, we already know that, but
So you make a great point. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I want to offer that my perception has changed a little bit since, you know, 2020 and, you know, how society has handled that and the direction, you know, the society seems to be going with bigger cities. So my perception has changed in some of the things that y'all talked about living in the country, you know, some of the advantages, I've gotten to experience that for a long time, and I didn't even know it was an advantage until something like 2020 happened. And I'm meeting a lot of people out in this country life that are saying, like, I moved here from California, I moved here from the East Coast, and in my mind, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But as you say, you know, this country life is becoming more popular.
Yeah.
And I have concerns and trying to make the split from the country life to the city life. But with the way society's going, I know what you're saying adds up. And
yeah.
maybe the opportunities ain't worth, you know, some of the stuff you might have to go through.
Well, yeah. And also, people are more easily controlled in cities. So a nuclear family living out in the middle of nowhere, self-sufficient, cannot be controlled. You know, especially if they have, you know, God in their life and they have that order in the house, they just won't accept being controlled. It's very easy to control people in cities. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this and then try to get some other calls. But thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. Yeah, have a blessed day.
All right. Have a good day, man. Another big part of this is language. So it's kind of hard, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about it. It's kind of hard to explain, but if you're sitting across from someone in person, not email, not text, not even a phone call, but staring at someone's eyes, sitting across from someone, it's hard enough in that situation to really communicate something. If they get your point and they get what you're saying, it really is like a miracle. It's like a small little miracle, because part of that is nonverbal communication. You know, the words are coming out of your mouth, but they look at the little facial tics, the little hand movements, the body language, and that's what they—that's what people read about other people. It almost has nothing to do with the words. So you think about the first people, theoretically, I know this is all hypothetical, but you think about the first people to ever exist, the hunting tribes, and they would go out and all men, obviously, they weren't talking to each other. They weren't saying, hey, the deer is over there. It was all nonverbal body language. There would be a leader, a head guy, a head honcho, and by little body movement ticks or winks or little sounds or little natural sounds, he would communicate things. This is beyond words. It's 1,000% more efficient than words are. And so let's just say that that was the first group of people who didn't speak yet. And then let's say that they started using nouns first. They would say stick, rock, river, hunt. That's a verb. Well, no, it could be a noun. But either way, they start using nouns first. That already brings into the picture a little bit more of a confusing situation. What's a chair? If a tree falls down in my backyard and I sit on it, is that a chair? Is that, you know, that it already makes it a little more confusing. And then you get into verbs and it gets even more complicated. And then once you add adjectives and adverbs, you start judging. It makes language extremely subjective, like for people. And so that's why I say I learned it from a guy in college. Adjectives ruined the human language. They really did. And you see this in southern people talk to, like their wit, their humor, their phrases, their sayings. They have a sort of air of like ridiculousness. Underneath it is a deeper sort of recognition that that life is just sort of like ridiculous. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But and then you think about before television, before movies, people got more pleasure out of, or entertainment pleasure out of, the art of conversation. You know, they spoke better. And when you're talking to someone face to face, that's how they would get their entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's also nothing wrong with using adjectives. But if you really want to get to know yourself, think about the kind of words that you use and how you use them. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's why we say no isms. Because as soon as you start using these big words, you believe them to be true, and they control you. They really do. The most important things in life are really beyond words. They're beyond description. You can't put them into words. So that's why I say we do have to use words to communicate with people, but they shouldn't be where you get your bread and butter. It's more like a game. You know, it's more like a game. That's why I say people lie all the time. We can't help it. It's a necessity to lie if you're using words, because the way to get to the truth is to be face-to-face with somebody and to see past the words, to see their body language, see what they're really talking about. And that's sort of like the game we play. I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but that's part of what I wanted to mention about words. One last thing. What time is it? I think we have time. Phrases that people hold on to. You ever meet somebody who has been using the same phrase for a decade or more, their entire life? I knew a guy once who would say, you know, hold the phone. Instead of saying, like, hold on or wait a minute, he'd say, hold the phone. And you see this all the time with people, little tics that they do. There was a guy on the Fallen State, the more watched Fallen State episodes. I think he was like a Black Lives Matter guy. He'd say, right? You know, we can't be doing that, right? And, you know, but that's not the truth of it, right? And you hear people do that. They end every sentence with right, 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 right. And they can't stop. And you could tell that they are getting a feel. It's a comfort that they're getting. They're getting a feeling out of using the same phrase, you know, their entire life. They'll go to use it. And then words like access, any buzzwords that Hake talks about in his show, it's a communist buzzword. It's so true. People will use the same words. If something happens in the news, you can go through different news channels, and everyone's using the same phrases, the same words. Access, community, conversation, systemic, stuff like, you know, stuff like that. They will repeat the same words over and over again. I had a grandma on my mom's side. She had dementia, you know, for, I don't know, 7-8 years, and she slowly started losing it. And at the end, in like the last, you know, year, she really couldn't communicate, but she did hang on to certain phrases or certain gestures that you could tell that those were the gestures she's been using her entire life. It really, like, defined her in a way as a person. There were only, like, three or four left at the end. She'd go, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, she'd say, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a very New Jersey thing, New York, New Jersey thing. And a couple other ones. But those are the things that people really hang on to. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just human nature. I certainly do it. I certainly hang on to phrases. But let me take, I think we have time for one more call. Talk, Sean. Find out. Thomas, Michigan. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's your day going?
It's going great. I know you like books, right?
I do.
Because I remember you did that Ernest Hemingway segment during the summer for White History Month or Men's History Month.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to give a book recommendation. Have you ever read Wilson Rawls?
No, I never heard of it.
I'd really recommend Wilson Rawls, Where the Red Fern Grows. You know, you were talking earlier about the living on a farm, like in the country.
Yeah.
And these Wilson Rawls books, specifically that one, it's about, do you know, in American history, they had that great migration period where everyone was moving from the country into the cities.
Yep.
That's where the book takes place during. Mm-hmm. And it's about a kid growing up, like, in the country. And then as an adult, he's looking back on it now that he's in the city. And it's a real timepiece. And nice. It kind of shows that, like, dynamic of people moving off their nice land and
and
moving to the cities, you know, chasing that dream, I guess.
Right. I mean, part of my point is that, especially for raising a family,
yeah,
you know, it's superior, especially for raising a family. Kids need to be outside, you know, especially boys. They need to have that rough and tumble sort of outside playtime, free of distractions. And it's just the truth. I want to, but yeah, I'll definitely look into that. It looks like they made a movie about it too.
Yeah.
But let me recommend a book. Can I recommend a book to you?
Yeah, of course. I'd love a recommendation.
The Art of Seeing Things by John Burroughs.
The Art of Seeing Things by John Burroughs.
Yeah. He's dead. He died in like 1921 or something like that. So it's an older book, but he writes, they're nature essays. They're essays about nature.
Essays about nature?
Yeah. And there's a poem in there too that I've read on the show. I love that book so much. The way he writes is just... He's, what do they call it? Exhortation. He really exhorts the rural life. And he's, he finds...
John Burroughs?
John Burroughs, yeah. He finds... exhilaration in the small little details of nature. Birds, walking. It's very unique. No one writes like he does. It's very good.
Yeah.
But let me...
I've been missing that... That nature recently. you know.
Oh, you're in a city?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I used to was kind of not in the city, but everything's been really developed the past couple decades.
Yeah.
The road I live on now, like, I can't even open the window anymore. The traffic's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, you could just leave it open and it was quiet. And,
yep.
But
so if you found yourself really in the middle of nowhere, like, let's say you got a job as like a ranch hand or a training to be a cowboy or something, and you are in the middle of Montana living on a farm with three other people for a year,
uh-huh.
Would you think you would find yourself being bored?
I think I'd keep myself busy.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
I
think you just get some hobbies.
Yeah.
Right?
Being bored is a very female thing. It really is. Men don't get bored. That's my message for today. Real men do not get bored.
Yeah.
Yep. Also, real men don't cringe. You know how people say, "Oh, cringe." That is such a feminine thing. Like, it's pretty much being embarrassed for somebody else when you say cringe. Like, "Oh, cringe."
That's so true.
Never say that.
You know, I'm a bartender by, this is like my job.
Yeah.
That's what I do for work. And I, you know, a lot of times I have these weird interactions with people, you know, like drunk people. And a lot of my female coworkers are like cringe. Like, "Man, that's so awkward. So, man, that's so cringe."
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I'm like, well.
Yeah, no, you're a woman. someone in the chat just said Sean bases his whole life around Westworld. That's great. Are you watching any TV shows right now?
No,
you don't watch a lot of TV?
Nope.
Oh, it looks like we're coming to a break, man. I gotta let you go.
Hey, take care. Have a good one.
All right, have a good one, Thomas. Bye.
Bye.
One more. All right. One more. Sorry to take your calls away there, Jesse, but hi, May, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Good to talk to you. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How's Minnesota treating you?
It's doing good. It's sunny out and a little bit of wind.
Oh, nice. Beautiful. Is it flat where you are?
Yeah, it's pretty flat.
Nice.
Not as flat as like Nebraska. When you go to Nebraska up over here, it's much more hilly.
That's another theory. Yeah. Another theory of mine is the flatness versus people living in flat areas in corn country in the middle of Illinois or places down south where it is flat, absolutely flat. They have a completely different culture than people living in mountainous areas, especially the Northeast.
Yeah.
There's no house on the hill. There's no blind turns. Everyone is literally on the same page. Everyone's on the same page physically and also, you know, literally. And it creates a whole different way of looking at the world, like flat areas. But let me put you on hold. We'll get right back to you, all right?
Okay.
And it might be with Jesse. It might be with me. I'm not sure. But Jesse will be back soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi, man. I'm going to put you on hold. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm going to try to find this quote real quick. John Burroughs, "A man can fall many times, but he isn't a failure until he begins to blame somebody else."
I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, and woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
Mm-hmm. University idiots making drama over the Israel-Palestine war drama. It's ridiculous. And there is Gaza drama going on. And they're crying human rights or some silly thing. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. First hour guest hosted by our greatest producer, Sean, the producer. JLP will be right back, I do believe. But first, fake news on fake news. There is one line open. You can call in right now. NASA has regained communication with Voyager 1 per Commie Nonsense Network, CNN. The most distant spacecraft from Earth, Voyager 1, after a five-month computer glitch. The mission team was thrilled to receive a signal from interstellar space. That's between different stars. The uncharted cosmic territory about 15 billion miles away. And wow. Pro-Palestinian protests are popping up at universities across the country, according to the far-left female-run outlet The Skim. Since the encampment protests, I didn't know they were encamping. Encampment protests, homeless bums, basically, at Columbia University last week. Students at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, also better known as MIT, the University of Michigan, Yale, University of California, Berkeley, UC Berkeley, and New York University, NYU, they have followed suit. Followers. The demonstrations against the war in Gaza are calling on universities to divest. Divestment from companies with ties to Israel. The protests have raised concerns about the safety of Jewish students amid reports of anti-Semitism. All one word, no hyphen, to make it seem real. Now many are watching to see how the standoff on college campuses unfolds. Some universities have turned to arrests and suspensions, prompting backlash that college officials are curtailing free speech. At least 160 people, including students and reportedly faculty, have been arrested at Columbia, Yale, and NYU, 100 at Columbia. Police said that they allegedly refused orders to leave these people who got arrested. Columbia reportedly said classes at their main campus will be hybrid, meaning you can just do it online if you don't feel safe, through the end of the spring semester. Meanwhile, New York lawmakers and crooked Joe Biden, the so-called president, condemned the reports of anti-Semitism, all one word, no hyphen. Some Jewish students said they no longer feel safe on campus. Others said outside instigators, not students, are responsible for the anti-Semitic harassment. Student demonstrations across the university campuses have reached a boiling point. The escalating tensions have put the spotlight on schools' responses as they balance free speech and concerns over safety all over nothing. Dummies. Shout out. Gaza drama, the U.S. State Department's annual report on human rights, raises sharp concerns about the conflict in Gaza, according to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, noting allegations of war crimes by Israel, Hamas, and other Palestinian militant groups. The report details widespread disparities between Israelis and Palestinians and the degrading treatment of Palestinian detainees in prison facilities after October 7th. A UN expert, separately warned about the psychological terror of Israel's offensive in Gaza, that could manifest years from now in the form of increased mental health illnesses among Palestinians there. Meanwhile, in the United States, heightened tensions around those pro-Palestinian protests, blah, 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 blah. You heard about the schools. Microplastics in meat and vegetables, at least the animals' proteins and vegetable proteins samples. 90% of animal and protein vegetable samples, vegetable protein samples tested positive for microplastics per a new study, says CNN. These teeny polymer fragments, I think they mean tiny, are found in many popular foods, which can pose dangers to the body's organs and functions if found in large quantities. Caitlin Clark signed a Nike deal, $28 million possibly, an eight-year Nike deal to supplement her $76,000 rookie salary with the WNBA. She also has other endorsements from brands. I'm James Hake, now back to JLP, Hour 2.
Thank you.
to stand up strong. Ain't the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being with me. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-Jesse, J-E-S-S-E. My biblical question for this week, the biblical question, which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Being something or doing something? Which are you most interested in? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about making breakfast, lunch, or dinner, doing whatever you're doing, protesting at the universities, fighting one another over nothing that you have no idea you're fighting about, you still can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 641-793-1500. 641-793-1500. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk, a Bond JLP on Cash App. Bond JLP on Cash App. So, it's Tuesday, and every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What dog?
Amazing.
Who let the dogs out?
Loose.
Amazing.
Amazing. Country and Western Tuesday. There is one line open at 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. Thank my producer for sitting in for me in the first hour there. I had to do another interview, a guest on another show. And so I asked Sean to sit in for me, and it was amazing.
Amazing.
I hope you enjoyed it. I didn't get a chance to hear it. Heard a little bit of it, but I hear that it was amazing. Not surprised. Not surprised. So thank you, Sean. Before I go to the calls, and I'll get to your calls here in a minute, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. The world gone crazy. You know, watching these protests that are happening now around my country, and how the Palestinian supporters are fighting with the Jewish supporters and the Jewish students on campuses, and it's very interesting to see it, because I realize that I guarantee you, if you could talk to the students that are out there protesting and carrying on, I guarantee you they have no idea what it's all about. They really don't know the depths of why they're doing it. It's just that they've been brainwashed by the teachers at these universities and others, faculties and everything, to hate one another. And then they've been brainwashed because they need to be angry in order to use them to gain personal whatever it is you want. And these people who are controlling these students, they want money and power. And these students, they have no idea who is organizing them, why they're showing up, or what they're doing. I promise you that. They have no clue. Now, if you ask them in the media, they'll say what they've been told to say. But they don't know what they're talking about. They're being controlled. And I'm stunned to see the professors, so-called professors, the teachers at the university, out protesting too, because they're revealing that they're teaching hatred. They're teaching human beings to hate one another for personal gain. And none of those students on either side, the Jewish side or the Palestinian side, they have never been offended by a Jew or a Palestinian. They're only doing what somebody is telling them to do. Who is organizing this? And how do they know to show up at certain places? And where are they getting the money and the time to show up and protest like this? Somebody paying it. Somebody paying for it. Somebody providing transportation. Somebody providing the flags and the size that they're carrying. Somebody doing it. Who? Who? And whomever is doing that, they're controlling these students for personal gain. What a sad way to live. But I understand it. Human beings have refused to be in control of their own lives. All that money they pay for so-called higher learning, they still going to have to pay the bill back, I guess, unless Joe Biden and the Democratic Party paid off their bill, their student loan. And a lot of you ask, what's the matter with the children? It's not the children, per se, but they're being brainwashed. They are not in control of their own lives. And I have to tell you, get ready for it. It's going to be a bumpy ride. It's going to be a long, hot summer. So get ready. This election coming up in November, it is, you know, I hear the word most important one, but they say that every year. But this one is a desperate one because the children of the lie, the last thing they want to see is America get better. They don't want to see you thinking and doing for yourself. They don't want to see you free. They don't want to see you buying your own gas and food, and they want to control you, folks. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a warfare. You better wake up. We don't better wake up. Stay in your hell. Live in your hell. But I would advise you to wake up. But stay in your hell if you want to. No sweat off my back. And I know that human nature is evil to the core. Human beings are evil. Anyone that has anger is evil. So most people love their hell. They love their misery. And they roam the earth, including inside their own family and everywhere, to find someone to inflict their hell upon so they can feel like they have life. So I understand that. So it's up to you. Newsweek has reported video showing student protesting forming a human chain against people that they say are Zionists have gone viral. Watch this from X.
A attention, everyone. Can I get everyone to form a human chain right here, please? We have Zionists that have entered the
camp. Mind check!
Mind check! Repeat after me.
We have me.
We have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Who have entered the camp.
We are going to create a human chain.
We are going to create a human chain.
Where I am standing.
Where I am standing.
So that.
They do not pass this point.
And infringe upon our privacy. Walk and take a step forward.
Yeah, I absolutely feel threatened.
Take a step forward.
So that we can.
Start to push them.
Out of the camp. One step forward. Another step forward.
That's so silly. But that's so evil. Those are people who cannot think for themselves. Those are groupies. Those are not individuals. And all their lives, they've been trained to be groupies. There would be no good to America, ever. Unless they change, there would be no good to America. That's dumb to stand there and chat that and do that. Some dumb person tell you, what for? There's a change we're going to put around the building. What for? That's dumb. Those are brainwashed people who cannot think for themselves. And those are the average people in America and around the world. Most people cannot think for themselves. They cannot think for themselves. Isn't that amazing? They quote a stupid quote like that and follow some stupid, I guess it was a guy, telling them what to say and what to do. They don't know why they're doing that. You know, I didn't know what a Zionist was. And so I asked my producer this morning, Sean, what is a Zionist? And if I remember correctly, he said a Zionist is a person who believes that the state of Israel a person who believes in the development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel. That's from Oxford. A Zionist is a person who believes in the development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel, from Oxford. So y'all better be talking to the older blacks and the older whites, Christians, because we all grew up believing that Israel is, we are believing in the Jewish nation. And we believe that because Jewish people live there. What the? And when we were growing up, Israel the Jews and the Christians were brothers and sisters, one. It was understood back then that Christianity came from Judaism. And so they protected one another. And now somebody is trying to break up that relationship. Somebody, for whatever reason, is jealous and envious, and they want to destroy Christianity and Judaism. And this has been coming on for a while. And the same people that want to destroy Judaism and Christianity are the same people that want to destroy America and Israel. They want to destroy the rest of the world, especially because Christianity is the best religion on this side of heaven. They know it, and they want to get rid of it, and they think by getting rid of anybody that's white, they're going to get rid of Christianity. That's not going to work. You're never going to be able to get rid of Christianity because Christianity goes beyond just a person. It's a spirit. And one or two people started to wake up. And as one or two people waking up, the spirit of the Father of God is being alive. You can't stop that. And white people, y'all need to wake up. They see you as Christians, and they blame you for Christianity. They want to wipe out the Western world because it represents Christianity. It represents Christianity. And Christianity is the only religion that says you must be born again. You must change your heart from anger to love. And somebody is pushing hatred, and the young people falling for it. May God have mercy on my country. Those kids, they're not free thinkers. Just as most adults are not free thinkers, they are groupers. Groupers, they think like the crowd. They cannot stand alone. This is evil. This is evil. There is never, ever, 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 but ever, never, 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 ever a reason to be angry. But angry people push in anger because it's evil. They are children of the lie. According to the New York Post, anti-Israel protesters armed with flares marched toward NYPD headquarters late Monday night after the number of students arrested at an NYU reportedly rose to over 150. I understand now. I'm saying the same, but now I understand. But I never thought you could hear people saying death to America, in America. Now, I heard it outside America, but inside America, I've not heard that before. And I didn't think that someone can come from a foreign land that hated us and take our money, food, free stuff, and then they said death to America. I never imagined to see foreigners in our government against America. If ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now. Citizen Free Press is reporting faculty members at Bernard marched to call for no suspension for anti-Israel protesters. Watch this from X.
No suspensions. Now. No suspensions. No suspension.
Wow. Now they're going to tell you whether you can suspend them or not. Walk out of the classroom, no consequences. This is not pretty. And according to The Guardian, a huge crowd of faculty members who teach at Columbia University held a mass walkout on Monday afternoon. So if you are a teacher at a university, aren't you there to teach everybody, all the students in your class? How is it that you can let it be known you hate one group over another group? It reminds me of the black so-called teachers. Let it be known they like the black students better than do the white students. How will you be able to teach like that? Aren't you supposed to be there to educate, read and write arithmetic? How will you do it if you're now letting it be known I hate you because you're a Jew, but I love you because you're a Palestinian or support Palestine? And will the parents continue to pay all that money knowing that you have a teacher who hates your child? Yeah, they will. Because they think education means more than life itself. They don't love their children. They don't love their children. What a sad way to live. Anyone with anger is evil. You have no right to hate yourself or anyone else. Zero. You have no right to even be angry at yourself. There's never, ever, ever, ever a reason to be angry at yourself. And according to the Guardian, scores of students were also suspended, including the daughter of the Minnesota Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar. Watch this from MSNBC.
Among those arrested was Israt Hirsi, daughter of Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She had been suspended from neighboring Barnard College and was protesting at Columbia. Congresswoman Omar posted on X that she was proud of her daughter and, quote, stepping up to change what you can't tolerate is why we as a country have the right to speech, assembly, and petition enshrined in our Constitution.
Yeah, I guess I was suspended Thursday morning at 10 a.m. with two other fellow Barnard students. The email stated that we had engaged in disruptive behavior but had not outlined the code of conduct that we had violated. The three of us were the only three that had done public interviews at that point, and so we think that our targeting or our the reason we got suspended so early was due to the fact that we had made ourselves known. And then that the school got NYPD records to be able to arrest the rest of the students. How I'm feeling about it, however, I think a little bit, like, this was expected. We all knew that, we knew the risks and we knew what we were engaging in. However, I wasn't really expecting to be immediately locked out of my dorm, of dining, of campus as quickly as I was.
Amazing. I want you to smoke on this one. Ilhan Omar, according to a report, was a refugee in another country. A refugee. She couldn't be doing all this mess over there in Allahuabad country. She was a refugee. They brought her into our country, the Western world, where Christianity rules, or supposed to. A foreigner. A Allahuabad foreigner. And they let her in government with the Allahuabad mindset. They let her in government of the United States of America, a female that hate America. And then they let her have babies over here, and now the baby is carrying on fighting against America. Why would you let foreigners in your government? They have a different mentality. They're not true Americans. She's not grateful, Ilhan Omar, her family. They're not grateful that you saved them from their hell. Why do you just leave them in their hell? What's wrong with you? That ain't love. To bring a foreigner to our country, let her into government, and then now she's against you, putting all the American people, citizens, at risk. And then this stupid daughter of her doing that uptalk stuff, I'm told it's uptalk, condescending tone. I'm going to, you to see? I was in this situation. And then she said how she's feeling about it. Who cares about how you feeling? That's not important. What you're saying is that your whole life is about feelings. She playing victim. You just saw the face of her. Pretense victim. Here's the MSNBC photo of that. We don't have it. Okay, I'll come back to it. We don't have it, apparently. So, Omar.house.gov, born in Somalia. Representative Omar and her family fled to the country
fled the country's civil war when she was 8. According to Omar.house.gov, born in Somalia, so-called Representative Omar, her family fled the country civil war when she was 8. I would ship her and her whole family back so fast, it'll make their head swim. You can't come in my country and become in my government and then be against me. But the Christians say, oh, that's not love. That is love. How are you going to not protect your own house first? How's that? Amazing. 888. I don't know what's going to happen to my country now. I just take it day by day. And believe me, you think these times are rough? They're going to get worse before it's all said and done. Let me go to Mary, a first-time caller out of Idaho. Not Navajo, but Idaho. Mary, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Mary.
I had called earlier during the discussion of the meditative places that are available.
The what?
And what I'm seeing.
You called about what now?
Earlier there was the discussion of the city versus country living.
Oh, with Sean.
With Sean.
Oh, okay. The Quiet Place. I didn't hear the interview, so I got you now, though.
Yeah, so what I have noticed in my age is
how old are you?
I'm 62.
So you're a first-time caller. Welcome, Mary. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I grew up in a small, you know, not a city, not a country, but it was near the beach in the 70s in Southern California. And when, so we could ride our bikes to the beach. It was about 10 miles away. And even on a tough day, if no one was willing to take us, you know, as a group, girlfriend, or whomever would take us to the beach, we could hitchhike. But once we got to the beach and the people who were at the beach, they had nothing but a towel with them. So you were able to be very quietly, spend your day in the rhythm of the outdoors, of just the sound of the sea, and you didn't talk a lot. Nobody had radios. and it was a wonderful way to diffuse and contemplate and regroup, recharge, just be in a quiet place and be at earth. What I see now is that people just take everything with them. Like maybe we had $1.50 in our pocket for food and a dime to call somebody, but we didn't worry about what we were going to eat or drink. I mean, that wasn't like.
But Mary, you know where the best, quietest place in the whole wide world, the best place to be quiet?
Well, right now, currently, my best place to be quiet is in my headstand.
No, that's not the best place.
You know where?
The best place in the whole wide world is neither in the city or the country or anywhere. It's inside of you. If you can live from within, no matter what noises are happening outside of you, you can live in a quiet place.
Yes, it would be nice if people could be at
hold
one
on, Mary.
With House the outdoors.
Service. Hold on. I have to admit, back in a moment. God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Jesse. Thank you, Sean. My producer sat in for me for the first hour there. I'm glad y'all enjoyed him.
Amazing.
I had to do an interview on another show, a guest on another show. So thank you, Sean. A couple of announcements, and we're going to get to your super chats here in a minute. The Hate Report is coming up in the second hour. Not the second hour, but at 9 a.m. TheHateReport.com at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. You blood. Joel Friday TV. And at 12 noon, The American Anchor, baby. On fire. The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon Pacific time. Amazing. Amazing. Let me go quickly back to the busy phone. Mary from Idaho. Hey, so, Mary, you were saying it would be nice if people what?
If they entered into the into nature more quietly.
Into what?
Into natural spaces like parks and beaches and mountains more quietly.
Why would that be nice?
So much gear and so much carrying.
Why would that be nice?
Because they would find the experience more full, and they would leave behind all of their marketing and commercial attachments.
Oh. What the? Mary, do you still have anger?
I am overcoming.
Do you still have anger?
Yes.
So you could stand on your head until the cows come home, and if you still have anger, it's all vanity. Why don't you overcome your anger? What good is it to stand on your head, but your heart is filled with anger?
No, I would say I wouldn't have anger. I would say it would more be, my anger. Well, there are, so I'm at the disappointment stage, not the anger stage.
Why don't you overcome your anger?
I guess I wouldn't call it anger as much as I would say disappointment at things that...
Why don't you overcome your anger?
I think I have.
No, you just said you still have it.
Well, it's always... all right. I'll modify that. I'll say I have.
What's the purpose of standing on your head? And when you're done standing on your head, you're still angry and miserable.
Well, I didn't say I was miserable and angry.
Angry people are miserable. They have no peace.
You think so?
Yeah, they have no peace.
Pardon?
Angry people have no, they have fear.
Yes, and what is your, and you detect anger due to what?
Why not overcome your anger? What's the purpose of standing on your head at the beach?
Oh, well, I don't stand at my on my head at the beach. I'm just saying that the beach used to be, well, not used to be, but the beach can be if you want to find a sacred space.
But
know,
the sacred space inside of you is not at a beach.
Anywhere in nature. It doesn't have to be at the beach. On the topic of whether it's a city or a country.
You know what? I didn't hear the conversation about what Sean was talking about, so I can't comment on that. But I do want to know. Mary?
Yes?
Why don't you overcome your anger? You're 60-something years old. Are you going to die with anger in your heart?
Well, I have overcome my anger.
No, you still haven't, you said.
You know, I know. I modify that.
What does that mean, you modify?
I take that back.
So you lied about your anger?
Oh, you're impossible.
Who? Who's impossible?
I misspoke.
So you lied about being angry?
I misspoke, yeah.
Do you have anger?
I don't think so.
Do you have anger?
No, I do not. I do not, if you want a definitive anger. But I always want to keep an open mind about it so I don't fall into the anger trap.
Why don't you overcome anger? Anger is evil.
I know. I know. I realize that. I do. I know that.
So why don't you overcome it?
I do know that. I do know that it's not. It's worthless.
So why don't you drop it?
Well, I think I have.
You haven't.
I think it's all. Well, it's. What makes you want to assess or assume that?
Because you're out there standing on your head, and the only thing that's happening is the blood flowing from your toes to your head. But you still once you stand back on your feet, the blood go back to your feet, and you still don't have peace. Christ came that you may have peace, and the quiet place is inside of you. You can live anywhere in the world and still be miserable.
Yeah. I agree.
So why don't you drop the anger?
The anger is gone.
No, it's not.
I have dropped it.
How did you drop it?
Well, you just told me to.
Nice. Now you have peace.
You said just drop it. So
right.
I did.
Just drop it.
Drop.
All right. Mary, I appreciate your call. Call me again, all right?
All right.
Okay. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Josh out of Georgia. Georgia, oh my. Josh, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Jeffy?
All is well, Josh.
All right, I was calling to answer that biblical question.
Which are you most interested in, being something or doing something?
I see being something and doing something as a setup from the devil. And I'm interested in being nothing and doing nothing. I think that's the way to live. So it's both options are I'm interested in neither, is the short answer.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm interested in neither of those options.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm interested in the opposite. I'm interested in being nothing and doing nothing. That seems to be the hardest thing that I can't do.
And what does it mean to be nothing and do nothing?
I don't 100% know yet, but I can see it's the way. It's like, because every time I try to be something and do something, it fails. So, but it's like something is, it's the hardest thing to do, to be nothing and do nothing.
And why is that?
It's like I keep getting sucked into doing something and trying to be something since I've done it so long. So I want to grow out of that completely. And I suppose
amazing. And so you don't want to be anything or do, you don't want to be anything or do anything, right?
Yeah, because that it always leads to failure when I try to do those two things.
Oh, okay. Interesting, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Yeah, well, I appreciate your response to that.
No problem, man.
And all right, and I'll respond on Sunday. I want to respond now, but I gotta hold my peace.
All right, I'll be watching.
And let the Lord fight my battle. What the? Thank you, Josh.
All right, no problem. Thank you, man.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773. There's one line open now, 888-7753-773. Let's do some super chats, and then I get back to the caller. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super.
Holy Gremlin on Cash App, cash.app/bondjlp.
Amazing.
Gave a donation, no message.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Ryan bought a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/jlptalk. So it's just a super chat, guys. Sometimes you mention how others are living in hell. How all are in hell? However, this seems irrelevant to me. Even if everyone around me were living in perfect peace, it doesn't change how I am living in hell. I don't really assume whether anyone is in hell or peace. We can speculate, but it doesn't change anything. I'll focus on myself.
Amazing. I don't understand, but amazing.
Nice. I understand you, Ryan.
What is he saying?
That it doesn't matter if other people are in hell. It only matters to him if he's in hell. H-E double toothpicks.
And why is he saying that?
I forget. He doesn't really say why.
I thought you said you understood it.
But I understand it. I didn't say I understand why.
What? You understand what he said, well, but you don't understand.
He does sort of hint, and this part I'm not sure I understand. Sometimes you mention how others are living in hell or how all are in hell, but this seems irrelevant to me, he says, because he only cares about himself. And he says it doesn't change anything to speculate about other people being in hell.
Oh, so he speculated about other people being in hell?
No, he says, I think he's saying we can speculate, meaning you and he.
What?
Let's move on.
Thank you. I don't quite understand it. Break it down a little bit. If you want to, but I don't quite, but thank you.
Or you can call in.
Right, you can call in as well. 888-77-JESSE.
This same Ryan, though, bought another coffee.
Oh, good. Maybe he's breaking it down.
Maybe. You said those who die in hell will remain in hell. This isn't true. The only hell that exists is this one on Earth. When you, quote-unquote, die, it's only your body dying along with your ego. The real you is eternal, says Ryan.
Eternal life through Jesus Christ. God is not willing that anyone shall perish, But he wants every man to be free. Hallelujah. But the wages of sin is death. Oh, Lord. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. I can't get that high. Is death. Been so long. Amazing. You heard that song before? That song?
No, sir.
You have it? You did? The wages of sin is death.
Maybe from you.
Oh.
But this is the
most. Oh, thank you, Lord.
It's the most of the song that I've heard from you.
Amazing. So, and so, what is he saying again?
He's trying to say that hell is only on earth when you're in the body.
Where did he get that from?
Beats me. Ryan.
I thought he was going to break it down for me.
You thought wrong.
You thought like lit.
Whoa, I disavow that.
What?
Phrase.
What was that? What was the phrase?
I can't even repeat it. It's too vulgar.
What was it? The phrase, but don't.
You thought like.
How long you ever thought like lit?
No.
It seems like speculation and assumption, Ryan. To
I don't even
it,
understand what he's saying.
Like
he
lit.
Says the only hell that exists.
Lint?
Lit.
He says the only hell that exists is on the one on earth.
What?
He said, well, he says that you said those who die in hell will remain in hell. But he says that's not true. The only hell that exists is the one on earth. When you die, it's your body dying along with your ego. Then the real you is eternal, he says.
I don't understand that statement. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it sounds like there's no spiritual hell.
Right. What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan, break that down for me. That's the second breakdown I need. But thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Carter bought five coffees. What is your opinion on joining the police academy?
In L.A.?
I don't know where Carter is from. I won't dox him.
I wouldn't recommend joining the police department in New York, L.A., Oregon. None of the so-called red cities. I wouldn't recommend it. It was like, I wouldn't recommend anybody join the military at this point.
Red is in
I mean, the blue cities. Thank you, Sharon. The blue cities where the Democrats are in control. I would not recommend you join the police. Now, if you want to go out to a red city, right? Red, James? And so-called conservatives in control, maybe you have a better chance. But not the blue cities or states. So, wherever you live, I wish you well. Thank you.
Krikor bought a coffee. You say we don't have free will. I do agree. We are either doing the will of the devil or born of the Father and doing his will. However, this question I have in mind. Adam, who was walking in the Garden of Eden with the Father, and he only knew good, when he, Adam, listened to Eve, who listened to the devil, and the devil became her God, whose spirit Adam was driven by.
After he listened to Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Satan, after he listened to Eve.
Indeed.
Amazing. Thank you.
Gavin from North Georgia bought 80 coffees.
Thank you.
We're going to be buzzing. Very generous.
thank you.
Keeping it pithy, says Gavin from North Georgia.
Thank you, Gavin from North Georgia. On my mind. I appreciate it.
Pithiness is powerful.
Yep.
Chalice bought a donation saying thanks.
Thank you.
That's a Cash App. Bon Jovi. Right,
thank you.
R.H. Hernandez the fourth bought a coffee. No message.
Thank you. That's pippy.
Prep Hound Paul said, I'm with you, Sean, 100%. I'm trying to get back to a small farm life currently.
It's unfortunate. I don't know about unfortunate, but it's amazing how the people were convinced to all leave the country life, the farm life, and move into a city and be controlled.
Indeed.
Isn't that crazy? Like herds of cattle.
The temptations.
Amazing.
Terrible.
We used to take the cows to the slaughterhouse. Uh-huh. And so we would back the truck up to the barn and then let the gate down and tell the cows to come on in. Ooh. And they and they all just herd them in and drove, bumping up against each other, knocking each other down, trying to get in.
Really? They knocked each other down?
You know, like stepping all into it, trying to get into the truck.
Yeah.
To go to the slaughterhouse to be slaughtered.
And then we had them for dinner that night.
Brutal.
Nice.
Or over the course of the year.
Right. Not just the same night.
Yeah.
Or day.
How did you preserve them? Just with salt? Or with did you have refrigeration back then?
What's that?
Ice. You guys have ice?
We eventually got an ice box.
Nice.
But we didn't put the counter in the ice box. We put them in salt.
Salt and just wrapped it up and buried it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Amazing.
You didn't have a fridge?
At first, one time we didn't have one. They hadn't made them yet.
Yeah, I remember when we first got microwaves.
We never had a refrigerator. We always had an ice box.
Cool.
They didn't have refrigerators yet.
What the?
Isn't that amazing? And the Iceman used to come down the road. We see the Iceman coming every Saturday.
Yeah.
And we would buy a big block of ice and put it in the top of the ice box.
Cool.
And it kept everything cool for a week.
Nice.
And the Iceman came every week.
With those big plier things?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'd be like, Mama, let me carry one. She's like, you can't handle this, you're too little. And then I got big enough to carry one.
Awesome.
Amazing.
What's up?
Evgeny Crosby with a diamond. He writes, no message.
Thank you.
Mike Young bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse and James Hake. I hear what you were saying about women not created to lead. They were created to follow. But once again, women, unfortunately, are the majority of voting power. And abortion, he says, is clearly one of the biggest factors that wins elections. And the Great White Hope have to convince the undecided voters and independent voters. So what do you suggest Trump should pick as a VP, if not a woman?
He should pick the most qualified person, most qualified man.
Indeed.
I have a feeling, and I could be wrong, that Trump is going to pick a woman. I'm interested to see who it is. But Trump got to do what he got to do right now. And since the women are in the way, he may have to pick one.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that'll be a dummy. At least he won't be in the way.
Right.
How about Palin?
Sarah Palin?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I like Sarah Palin, but no.
Right. Michelle Bachmann.
I like Michelle.
Me too.
I met her, spoke at events together, but no. But anyway, let's finish up the Super Chat, Hathaway. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. I want to get to Orlando, a first-time caller out of Hawaii. Orlando, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Hey, man, you know, I watch your show and on YouTube, and you're really somebody. So, anyway, I could talk to you about just about anything. You were talking about VP picks.
And, I thought you wanted to talk about white privilege.
Yeah, white privilege. But anyway, Candace Owens.
Do you want to talk about for VP?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
Without a doubt, no. Candace Owens needs to be at home raising her children.
Oh, okay.
She's all married. Right. She got a family. She was created to raise the man children.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. I got to take a break. 888-7753-7732. Another hour to go. Hate coming to the Hate News. Back in a moment.
Living at home with my mom and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening. I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God love us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
You're in the way. pro-abortion healthcare privacy. That's what the evil, crooked Joe Biden and mainstream media are pushing, administration. And Ukraine propaganda, your daily dose. Open wide for that Ukraine propaganda. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is already Tuesday, April 23rd, AD 2024. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls. And we will hopefully get to the rest of the supers today. But first, fake news out, fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com. You can join me live Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. Then Joel Friday after Hake, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 12 Pacific time. Joel Friday TV. And then, of course, American Anchor Baby after that. That is American Anchor Baby on YouTube, Rumble, D Gorgonzola on DLive, and other platforms. So check it out. JesseLeePeterson.com/show if you want to find all of the info. The far-left female-run outlet The Skim reports abortion-related medical records will be more private. Yesterday, the crooked Joe Biden administration issued a new rule giving people who provide or have had a legal abortion greater privacy protections during criminal investigations. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, H-I-P-P-H-I-P-A-A, prevents medical providers and health insurers from sharing medical information about their patients. But law enforcement typically has been allowed access to these records for investigations. This new rule changes that, preventing authorities from getting reproductive health care records. Communist buzzword, reproductive health care, right? In states where abortion is illegal. The change aims better to protect people crossing state lines for an abortion. Pure evil. They were mad at Kyle Rittenhouse for crossing state lines with his Second Amendment, allegedly, which he didn't. Republicans have threatened to sue the administration, the Crooked Joe administration, saying the rule violates states' rights. By reproductive health care, they mean abortion, in vitro fertilization, IVF, birth control, and other types of reproductive health care. And none of that stuff is healthy. I almost said crap. Don't say that, kids. Quote, no one should have to live in fear that their conversations with their doctor or that their medical claims data might be used to target or track them for seeking lawful reproductive health care. That's a quote from Melanie Fontes-Rainer, director of the Office of Civil Rights. Abolish the Office of Civil Rights. It's in the corrupt federal government, in the executive branch. That's what she said in a news conference. New rule comes at a time when 14 states have total abortion bans. 14 states. Anyway, your daily dose of Ukraine propaganda, a $60 billion military aid package, according to commie nonsense network CNN, for Kyiv, is due out to the Senate today. Go to the Senate today as Ukrainian officials struggle to fend off Russia's advance. Quote, to win, oh, who said this? We need ammunition. Our artillery is starving. Artillery is starving. An artillery reconnaissance commander told CNN, for months, Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines have spoken of being badly outgunned by Russian forces. President Volodymyr Zelensky, who's not a Christian, recently said the ratio was 10 to 1 in Russia's favor. If the legislation is passed in Congress's upper chamber, crooked Joe Biden said he will sign it into law immediately so that we can quickly send weapons and equipment to Ukraine to meet their urgent battlefield needs. That's what Biden said. Dubai floods. There's flooding in Dubai. Many Dubai residents working to return to life as they know it after the torrential rainfall last week caused damaging floods, per CNN. United Arab Emirates, of which Dubai is part, saw the heaviest rainfall in at least 75 years, with more than a year's worth of precipitation in 24 hours. That's one day. Many airlines have since resumed operations after the glitzy travel hub came to a halt, but the ordeal showed the city's vulnerability, so say meteorologists. Increasing number of natural disasters. I'm James Hake.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour already of the show. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy, it really is. I didn't realize how much of a deuce it was until I started talking about it daily. My biblical question, which are you most interested in, being something or doing something? Being something or doing something? Which are you most interested in? Being something or doing something? Amazing, huh? Don't forget that you can podcast all the shows. I highly recommend you podcast today's show, all of them but today's, because my producer did the first hour for me. I had to do an interview on another network, and my producer, Sean, for the first time, hosts the show. And from what I can tell, it sounds interesting. So podcast if you missed it, all right? And if you're, like, running around, laying up at a beach, and just can't watch the show right now, you can be listening live no matter where you are and what you're doing. And who you are, you could be listening to the show live by calling the listen line at 641-793-1500. That's 641-793-1500. On your iPhone or iPad, to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or bond JLP on Cash App. Bond JLP on Cash App or rebuildingdemand.com. It's rebuildingdemand.com. It is Tuesday. Every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back,
oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What dog? Who let the dogs out? Amazing.
America is gone. It's over. Look at what's happening in the streets right now. They are chanting death to America, to people that have been told you're infidels and worthy of death. So they're on your soil chanting death to America. Amazing, huh? Let me just do these two sound bites and then I get to your calls. The people in Chicago are ticked. They are angry like Nanny Gordon Noss. And the reason they're mad is because, according to Forbes, Chicago citizens speak out at a city council meeting about a proposal to spend $70 million more dollars on migrants. $70 million. Watch this from Fox.
Now, to align yourself with somebody who's obviously a one-term mayor, if he even makes it that far, you better be worrying about your job. Oh. You better be worrying about your longevity, because we're going to vote and we're going to get you out because you ain't doing right by us. That's what time it is.
That's what, did you want to know the time? That's what time it is. You're going to be voted out, and the mayor of Chicago is black. He black. But I've been trying to tell the blacks for years now, your black representatives don't care about you. They're about themselves. All egos cares about self. And finally, they're, I guess, outwardly proving it. Because according to a report, the mayor of Chicago is thinking about the illegal aliens over the blacks. And the blacks are like, what the? $70 million more dollars for illegal aliens? What about us? What about us? And they're like, uh-uh. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, because they voted out that woman, that female mayor, whatever her name was, and they voted in a guy that's worse than the one they voted out. It's going to be interesting to see, will the black people in Chicago vote in the best man, not because of color. If, let's say a white man comes along, and he's conservative. He going to do what's best for Chicago. Will they vote for him? Or will they just get the same and keep complaining? Now, the blacks in Chicago, I want you to understand, it ain't about color. It's about good versus evil. It's spiritual. Vote in somebody that's going to do what's best for Chicago, not what's best for the blacks or the whites, but what's best for Chicago. I haven't seen Chicago... And because it's been ruled by Democrats for so long, I don't know if I ever seen Chicago in a condition that you just want to rush to and live. The Democrats have been ruling there for so long. And I want to know, what would you do in this situation? Watch this situation. I want to know, what will you dude, this is an amazing situation. My producer and I, Sean, when we were discussing this morning, it was an amazing discussion. So I want everybody, just for 1 minute, pay attention to this particular video, and I want to know, what will you do if you were in this identical situation? I don't normally do ifs. But for this particular one, I'd just like to get some feedback on it, because this is interesting. What will you do in this situation? Joel Friday, come here for a minute. And let me get Nick in too, the anchor baby. Interesting. I don't know if they're aware of this. I hope not. They're experts. Nick is away from his desk at this point, right? Come on in. Joel is here. Joel Friday TV every day. It's up Friday, 11 a.m. right here on this network, 11 a.m. Pacific time at Joel Friday. And Joel is one of the experts on this network. So Nick is away. Let me get Hake in.
Oh, I took his spot.
Whose spot?
Hake.
He can sit over there. He don't own that spot. His name over there.
He not going to cry?
Is his name on it?
As long as he don't cry.
As long as you don't see his name, let him cry. I remember when we were kids, and we would, if one of my brothers or sisters, a little cousin, want to sit at the table in a certain seat, and they'd be like, Mom, punches in the seat. I'm like, your name on it?
I know.
I ain't see your name on the seat. That was my seat. I'm like, I ain't see your name.
I had an aunt who we used to put on the food in the refrigerator, do not eat.
Yeah.
And then she would go in there and eat it and write, F you.
Whoa.
So I could kind of relate.
So if hate name is not on that seat, that ain't his seat.
True.
I actually feel freer over here. See? And this is where I used to be all the time back when I was producer.
Right. See, he feel freer. White people love to lead.
This is the guest chair.
You're
in
the corner now. You're behind hate. Now you're following the white man. And so hate, it's a hate report at 9 a.m. right here on this network from 9 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. And Hake is also an expert here. And I want Hassan to respond to this too, the engineer and also an expert on the show here, JOP. I want to know what would you guys do in this situation. This is from Wide Awake Media. I'm wide awake. I was in the dark. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't shave in. I wouldn't bow down.
Classic.
Oh, wide awake.
Katy Perry.
Oh, that's what that is?
Oh, I thought it was old, the other gal.
We used to play that on the when we had bumpers on there, and that would be like the go-to one.
Yeah. So I want to know what you do if you were in this situation. If I had a discussion with my producer, I would have him in, too. This is from Wide Awake Media. On X, Beta Male, and I'm reading it as they have it here. I'm not calling this guy Beta Male at this point. Beta Male watches a girl getting robbed right in front of him and does absolutely nothing to help her. Watch this from X.
It was just before 3 in the 5600 block of South University. Maddie says a confrontation happened and the suspect demanded her phone before flashing the gun. The pair got into a tussle.
I was grabbing for maybe my phone, maybe the gun. It's really like a blackout moment for me. And I realized that I was able to grab the magazine out of the gun.
The loaded magazine, now in police custody, Maddie says, and she hopes it will help solve the crime. Just minutes after that ordeal sent people in the area scrambling to safety, another armed robbery involving two suspects with handguns reported in the 1300 block of East 56th Street. That crime under investigation by the Chicago Police Department.
I couldn't necessarily really register the threat ahead of me, so definitely wouldn't advocate for fighting back. Losing a life over a phone is definitely not worth it.
Amazing. So the guy sitting there in the little park area, right there, looking at the guy getting robbed, according to the story, of her phone. The guy had a gun. He flashed a gun, according to the report. And the guy did nothing to help her. And you say, Joe?
Well, my thing is, for one, it depends on the context.
Was he a beta?
Well, you can't. It's hard to tell. I can't say because it depends on what happened before in the context. And for me, what can he really do, though? Like, if the guy has a gun, like, are we all going to die? what can he really do? But what did she do is the context for me. So I just would need a little bit more.
Was he a beta?
I can't tell. I don't know. Let's just say that he didn't know the girl and he was seen at random.
Oh, he didn't know her. It didn't seem like he knew her. The guy that was sitting there in the little park watching.
Right. Let's say she didn't do anything beforehand. He just seen this at random. Is that what we're doing?
That was random.
Okay. Then is he a
beta? It appeared to be random.
No.
He's just sitting there in the park doing his thing, whatever that is. And then this happened. The girl walking by. The guy walked up. Trying to rob her of her phone, according to the story.
No, I don't think he's beta.
You don't think he's beta?
What is he supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do with the best part of me was always you? You say, Hake?
Stay out of Chicago.
That was in Chicago?
Yeah, I gathered that it was in Chicago. She mentioned Chicago toward the end.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear him talk. I want to hear his take.
He probably like still running.
So this man is just sitting there in like this, it looked like AstroTurf yard.
Right.
And
it looked like a little play park.
5 or 10 yards
where
away.
Hassan might be walking his dog.
5 or 10 yards. And he's just sitting there with his knees up, maybe looking at his phone or something. And like 5 or 10 yards away, maybe, this gal, white gal, young lady, is getting accosted by this black tall guy wearing a hood, and I guess he had a gun. And that was a long magazine, by the
way. How was she able to take the gun away from her, or the bullet?
She was grabbing at something, and maybe that thing wasn't fastened well, because that was a long magazine.
Right.
That was maybe an extended magazine.
She was able to grab that.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
she pulled that out.
Sorry, black guy.
It would, I know,
but there could have still been around in the chamber.
What kind of robbing he doing? He gonna let a girl grab it?
Matter of fact, then the guy sitting down, he was like, "You got it."
Yeah, you gonna be fine, girl. You got this one.
You see another person like run away and hide behind like cars.
Yeah,
and run away, and then later, like
the
after
white girl on her own,
after the incident is pretty much over, almost over, because the guy, black guy, kind of comes back. The guy's like jogs away a little bit, gets up, and like, you think that he might do something. Oh nope, jogging away. He looked a little beta, but that's still smart. That's just, that's a live beta is better than a dead beta. I'll tell you that much.
So was he a beta?
Yes, but I endorse it. I avow it. I do not disavow that beta.
Nick, did you see it?
I did.
Oh, you saw it?
Did they interview him?
What'd you say?
Let me play it just for...
I saw the part, but the only part I missed, but I caught up now that you mentioned it.
No, I want you to see the whole thing. Replay it, Hassan. This is from Wide Awake. Oh, Wide Awake. Wide Awake Media. Oh, Wide Awake. On X. Beta male watches a girl getting robbed right in front of him. And does absolutely nothing to help her.
Call him that.
Okay, go. Yeah, they call him Beta in the article.
Well, it's a tweet. It's a post on
that. Oh, in the tweet. In the post or whatever. Okay.
It was just before 3 in the 5600 block of South University. Maddie says a confrontation happened and the suspect demanded her phone before flashing the gun. The pair got into a tussle.
I was grabbing... maybe the gun. It's really like a blackout moment for me. And I realized that I was able to grab the magazine out of the gun.
The loaded magazine, now in police custody, Maddie says, and she hopes it will help solve the crime. Just minutes after that ordeal sent people in the area scrambling to safety, another armed robbery involving two suspects with handguns reported in the 1300 block of East 56th Street. That crime under investigation by the Chicago Police Department.
I couldn't necessarily really register the threat ahead of me, so definitely wouldn't advocate for fighting back. Losing a life over a phone is definitely not worth it.
He kind of jogged away, but looked like he was still on his phone.
Yeah, and then he started walking after like 3 steps.
Right, like he forgot about the whole incident.
It
just happened along the way. So
you didn't know if it was a boyfriend girlfriend situation, a white girl dating a black guy.
That kind of matters.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. Anchor Baby's
not beta.
Anchor Baby's here. He's the host of the Anchor Baby Show here on the network at 12 noon, Monday through Thursday, and then 4 p.m. on Friday, Pacific time. Anchor Baby, you say.
Thank you. I say not beta. I like James saying that he could still be a beta, but that wasn't beta. But I'm saying not beta. You know, I didn't know that she took the magazine. I heard that. I'm thinking, God's got her. God's got her.
But there could be a round in the chamber if he racked it.
She's doing
right.
She's just fine. But
that's a good point. She'll have a bullet in there.
Yeah.
But
it seemed like she was winning.
People call things brave that are not. That's not brave.
Yeah, she didn't know what she was doing.
Say again?
She didn't know what she was doing. She said she didn't really comprehend the danger she was in.
God's got her. So I'm walking away. I'm saving my life.
That's right. Leave it up to God. You better pray.
You know, I'm messing around, but at the same time, I feel like...
you got to pray just to make it today.
So this guy was sitting on his butt. He had his knees up, and he had his arms, like, linked together underneath
his
knees.
Like he was trying to hide his phone.
Yeah, he was, like, holding... He had his arms underneath his legs.
I would have stood there, probably.
That's what I was thinking.
I would have been like, what?
Be like, maybe I should call the cops or something. wait, miss, are you you're good, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been a beta-ness that would have come out of me.
So if a black guy, and I think he was black, right?
I don't know.
He had a, looked like he had a mask. I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, it looked like it.
If a black guy was attacking a white girl with a gun, you going to do something about it? Anchor baby?
No, I'm saying it, that's a form of, that's its own form of inaction out of, like, I should do something because society says I should. That's a woman who's being attacked, right? But the guy has a gun. What am I really doing?
Put him in a chokehold.
Right. If I'm going to do
if
that,
you're,
then
be
it's
a
like,
Marine. Be that Marine that got charged
but
with murder.
The Marine would already be doing that.
We ain't heard, is he locked up?
I forget where
we don't even talk about
the situation
him
with him. The guy on the subway.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
The Marine guy would have already done that. I was, you know what I mean? He would have already taken
it. And gotten in trouble for it.
Beta
or
alpha male.
Or died over it or whatever.
And come baby. Beta alpha male.
I say not beta. No.
Not beta.
I'm not saying alpha, but not beta. I'm not calling him an alpha male.
You ran.
Beta for being on his phone. Yeah,
that's why I'm not calling him an alpha male.
What do you say, Sean? Beta alpha.
What, you mean Hassan?
I mean Hassan.
Well, this
Sean is telling me in my ear. My producer is telling me he should have stepped in.
Uh-huh.
He got a head blown off.
Dang.
He didn't say that part.
I've actually experienced this situation. I was a kid with my dad, and someone was getting mugged at an ATM, and my dad just said, keep walking, keep walking. So I've kind of been conditioned to mind my own business.
I remember seeing when I was in high school.
Sean, come here. Go ahead.
When I was in high school, I remember riding in the back of my dad's car, and we witnessed this whole mob of gang members attack, like punch a white Hispanic in the face. And there was another white guy with him, or white Hispanic with him. It was like, calm down. And then my dad just started honking the horn a lot, and they all scattered.
Oh, yeah?
And the guy had a bloody face, like he'd been hit with a pipe.
Whoa.
The guy whom they hit in the face.
And
my dad's all, we saw that. We can be witnesses. But the guy's like, no, just forget about it.
Your father said that? Did he tell you got to lay down on the floor of the car?
No.
Sean, go ahead, Joel.
Well, as Sean's coming in right now.
Yeah, Sean coming in. Go ahead.
I was thinking that it also depends on what the moment calls for. Maybe that guy, maybe the moment didn't call for that guy to do anything. Maybe you're just like, okay, this doesn't even seem like a major threat. But sometimes the moment, you have to wait to see what you would do, because you might end up trying to help if it makes sense, but sometimes you might just be like,
what kind of sense is going to make somebody with a gun?
Well, maybe you can save a life.
And what you did, that guy ain't going to think about you no more.
Okay, well, what if it happens? Zenny said, answer this one. Zenny says, what are these guys going to do when someone crazy tries to stab Jesse at church service? We're going to be like, Jesse got it.
Who said that?
Zenny.
Y'all better protect me at church.
Oh, words, why not? Zenny. I don't know. You look like you got it.
I'm up there trying to preach.
I just about Zenny.
Zenny. Sean, you say? This is my producer, one of the experts here on the show, and the host for me this morning. Guess who for an hour, first hour. You say?
I mean, if that guy had the ability to do something, he should have done it.
Yeah, lean in a little bit more. Okay. He should have done it? What do you mean?
If he had the ability to do that and help her, he should have helped her.
Why?
Because if we can't protect, you know, the vulnerable people in society.
Who are vulnerable?
Like, if that was a kid, if that was a grown man, and there was a kid walking out, like a 11-year-old kid walking down the block, and the guy just started beating up the kid, you're not just going to sit there and watch the kid get pummeled.
But who were the vulnerable person in that situation?
The young woman who was clearly outmatched.
No.
Well, actually, clearly not, because she took the magazine.
She took the magazine. Plus, they said women are equal to men anyway. Why not let that ride?
I don't know.
She wanted that education.
I know.
What?
I don't know if she thinks that.
I bet she does. She's in college.
Yeah, she's in college in Chicago. Chi-town. Stay away from Chi-Rack.
Alpha male.
I've been in a situation like this.
What do you mean?
In New York City, I was walking down the street, and two guys got in a fight, and one was homeless, one was like a regular working class guy, and he pulled the homeless guy into the middle of the crosswalk and got on top of him and started pummeling him. Like, throwing punches. He was going to kill him. And I walked over and I threw the guy off of the homeless guy and just ran and just walked away and just forgot about it.
Sean is Batman, really.
Looking back.
He's from Gotham.
Looking back, obviously.
How are you going? Go ahead. Looking back, what?
Looking back, obviously, if the guy who I pulled off of him had a knife and turned it on me,
yeah,
and I died, I would have regretted it.
That just reminded me of a story, too. That reminded me of a story, if I could say real quick. I did the same thing one time, and I just remembered.
Oh, Lord. So, everybody's
no,
up, baby.
But it didn't work out in
everybody's
my favor.
Everybody's up, baby. Justin and Dad, I had an experience like this.
It did the opposite effect, though, as Sean, though, because I was in a club one time, and I was with all my friends, and there was this girl who was, like, you know, like, her and a little group of friends, and this really, like, drunk guy walks up to the girl and is, like, being drunk and trying not to talk to her. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, he's being kind of aggressive. And then he, like, starts pushing her a little bit. And then she's kind of like, get away from me. And she pushes him, and he gets more aggressive. For whatever reason, I thought that I should step in and be the and I stepped in, and I pushed him hard, right?
Whoa!
And I pushed him, like, back. And at this point, he's coming at me because he's about to swing. So right before he's about to swing, I try to swing, but it doesn't get out because my friend stopped it. But anyway, long story short, security guards grab me, choke me out. This is on the fourth floor, I think. Security guard choke me out, and squeezing so tight I can't breathe, drags me down four flights of stairs, passing through a crowded space, and I can't breathe. I'm telling the girl, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I get all the way to the bottom. He throws me out, and the guy ends up staying in the club.
Whoa.
So,
sometimes.
You got what you deserve.
Sometimes you shouldn't step in.
I'm telling you. What the? And that girl went over, went home with that guy later.
But I disavow.
That's why we got to be
I
in the moment.
Disavow. I don't know that.
You never know.
Sean, beta or alpha?
Oh,
for
beta.
This particular
beta.
Beta.
Certain situations it's right, certain situations it's wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
That particular one, from what I could tell, you know, he's not a small guy, the guy who ran away. He's not a puny little guy.
I ain't saying that. Ain't no way in heaven or hell I would have done anything. In today's society, first of all, the guy had a gun. Secondly, ain't no police coming. The police won't even, if that girl had been shot, the police would not show up. And why would I put my life on the line? Nobody, you can't do it. Look what happened to the guy in New York, as James mentioned. What's his name?
Penny.
Say his name.
Daniel Penny.
We don't even hear about that guy. All he was trying to do is help. But nowadays, if you try to help, you become the criminal. And that guy had a gun. And I don't blame that guy. I wouldn't have done anything. I'm sorry.
I think you're right, though, in some cases. But yeah. I think in some cases, it's
in this
it's
particular
different.
One, looked like the guy did the right thing. Alpha male.
I agree.
It just depends.
I agree.
Well, and why?
Because even if he is beta, betas live to see another day.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
But just see, this guy had a gun, and he seemed like he was a big guy, tall. And yeah. And then as someone, one of you said, you didn't really know what the situation was. Could have been a boyfriend-girlfriend fight,
right.
And then he would have gotten choked out.
True.
And pushed down the stairs.
And she would have went home.
Domestic violence.
Right.
Domestic violence calls.
She would have got mad at the guy. Why are you jumping in this between me and my boyfriend?
The most dangerous situations for cops to enter in, I hear, is domestic violence calls.
Yes.
My friend got shot and killed, and his partner got shot and killed in a domestic violence call.
I heard that over and over again. Yeah. I heard you mention that, you're right.
Yeah.
So, Alpha. Sorry, Sean. I hate to disagree with my producer. Alpha male.
What if he's the alpha and a beta?
You can't be both. Either one or the other. Where does this idea come from that men should protect women when they get beat? So when I was growing up, I never heard that before.
It depends on the context. That's how I feel. It depends on what it calls for.
Where does the idea come from you should jump into somebody else's fight?
And there's a lot of quote-unquote alphas that are in the cemetery in prison. So
that's right.
Live to see another
but
day.
But
I've seen so many women get beat and on I the ain't throne, doing nothing about it.
On the throne next to Jesus.
Treasure chest opening on D-Live.
Treasure chest open on D-Live. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate
counseling it. Service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. All right, folks, I'm going to get to the calls. 888-7753-773. The Hake Report coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake Report, HAKEReport.com. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV from 11 to noon Pacific time. And then the American Anchor Baby at noon. Most of the time from noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time. The American Anchor Baby. And for personal shout-outs, and I'll do them for you, birthdays, wedding, anniversary, congratulations, encouragement, whatever the shout-out is, go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. And do me a favor, go to rebuildingaman.com. Make a donation there. We need your support. I shouldn't have to ask, but I understand you need reminding. rebuildingaman.com so we can help others as you are being helped. RebuildingTheMan.com/Stewart. I appreciate it. I mean, RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. Let me just take some calls here now. Mark out of Texas. Mark, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Mark.
Owner of Country Western Tuesday, let me say, from Texas. How are y'all doing?
All is well, sir. Thank you for calling.
Good, sir. Thank you. I called you back in January, and I said that I was going to make plans to go forgive my mom, and I did, and I just wanted to call back and let you know how that went.
Okay.
I also had a question about revelations from God. I believe I had one. I wanted to tell you about it and see what you thought about it as well.
All right. Go ahead. Tell me about what happened when you went and forgave.
Well, all of them are kind of connected. So, you know, I went to my mom and I said the words that you kind of say. I said, Mom, you know, I've had a lot of anger and resentment and hatred toward you for most of my life for things that you did when I was a kid. And I want you to know that I'm sorry for feeling that way. And I forgive you because I understand that you couldn't help it. You didn't know what you were doing. And it was an amazing feeling, Jesse. I just, you know, not long after I did that, I just felt my whole soul, my being kind of just lightened up.
Yep.
Things became cleaner.
Yep.
And clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. So,
and what did she say?
Well, you know, you say not to expect anything, and I did my best. I said, I'm not going to expect anything from her. I'm just going to say what I need to say. But to use that word, her reaction was kind of expected. She didn't really understand why I was forgiving her. And then she launched into a bunch of questions about what did I do? Well, where did I go wrong? And I didn't want to get too deep into conversation about those things. But honestly, that's part of what this revelation that I mentioned connects to it. And if you give me a moment, I'll explain.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me about the revelation.
Yeah, well, until I was about 12 years old, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And when I entered junior high school around 12 or 13, she decided she was going to go back to work. Well, one day before I forgave her, about 2 weeks before I went to forgive her, I was just cleaning around the house, doing nothing, not thinking about anything. And all of a sudden, this idea came into my mind, and I went, Mom went back to work when I was 12. And at age 12, I started dipping snuff. I smoked my first cigarette. I drank my first beer. I got involved with people that I shouldn't have been involved with. And it just hit me that she upset the natural order of our household by going back to work. And I had been dipping and drinking and smoking for my entire life since that point. And I thought that may have been, you know, a real turning point for me is when she upset that natural order of our home.
That's an amazing point, man.
Yeah. And, you know, God didn't say anything to me, but it just came into my mind that yeah. Wow, that was the moment that my life kind of took off in a different path. And it's really been a mess since that point. You know, my relationships have been horrible. I had a lot of anger. I had issues with, you know, substance addictions, you know, tobacco, alcohol, and other things. And that was one of the things that I did discuss with her. I said, you know, Mom, you went back to work when I was in junior high school. And on top of that, she kind of put the responsibility on me to come home after school and take care of my sister, who was 3 years younger. She was in the fourth grade. So, you know, for an hour or an hour and a half or something, I'd have to come home and take care of my little sister. And I don't know that I was wanting or ready for that kind of responsibility.
You were not. You were not.
Right.
What was your father? Was he living with you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I was raised in a two-parent home, and my dad was working.
Why did he let your mother go back to work?
I don't know. And I told you last time, my father passed away 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never really had a chance to become friends with him because he died when I was 27. We were just beginning that stage of a friendship instead of a parent relationship when he died.
Yeah.
But, you know, I asked my mom about that. I said, you know, I told her, I said, you went back to work. And she said, well, you know why I did? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, because you kids were always asking for things and wanting things to do, I had to go back to work. And I said, but Mom, we were not destitute.
Right.
It was mandatory for you to work.
That was for her.
And she said, well, if you kids wanted the things you wanted, then I had to go back to work. I said, you could have made a different decision.
Yeah.
You were the parent. We were the child.
Yeah.
The children.
That's deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was typical in that the whole issue I've always had with my mom is, number one, as you always say, women cannot admit they're wrong or say they're sorry.
They will send you to hell before they admit they're wrong.
You're exactly right. And my mom's typical of that. No matter what happens, she somehow turns it back on me.
Yeah.
It was you. And I thought, here's another example of that. Because I was a child asking for some things, she decided she had to go back to work. And I said, you know, that's not right.
She blamed you for it.
Right. She blamed me for it.
What?
So, you know, at that point, I had to, your words came into my head, don't ever, ever, never, but never, never argue with the devil.
Yep.
And I just said, Mom, I'm not going to discuss this anymore. I've said what I need to say. Go ahead.
No, finish your point.
Well, I just wanted to say to anyone and everyone out there, if you haven't forgiven, you need to, because my life has been totally different since then.
Yeah.
I had done the silent prayer for like 3.5 consecutive months before I went to apologize or forgive my mom. And when I did the silent prayer, I don't know how to describe this. You know, when you close your eyes, sometimes you think you see little images. As your eyes are closed, there may be little forms or shapes or images
right.
that appear before your eyes. And I had that before. But since that time when I closed my eyes, everything is just smooth and still and blank.
It gets better. And yeah, really, it gets clear.
Yeah, I really feel like that's God's presence clearing all of that anger and evil energy away. It's just more peaceful. I'm more relaxed. And it's just amazing, man. If you haven't done it, you have to go do it. It will change your whole way of looking at life and the way you walk through this world.
There are so many things I'm grateful for, but the one thing I'm really grateful for, besides forgiveness, is that God allowed me to really get to know my father before he expired, and he became my father, I became his son, and it was paradise on earth to be one with my earthly father before he expired. And it is still with me. And it's not in my head or anything like that, but mm-hmm. It was a heavenly experience to get close, to know my father, to be one with him, and have fun. And I even had to work with him on his emotions that time. But it was amazing. I was so blessed to be able to know my father before he expired. And it still doesn't seem that physically he's not around, but inwardly, not in my mind, but in my soul somewhere, it seems as though he's still there. I've never missed him because he's still been with me. And for me to say that, it's not like, no, I'm just telling you how it is. But Mark, thank you, buddy. I got to run. An amazing story, and you're absolutely right. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with it.
I will definitely do that, Jesse. I appreciate you, everything you're doing. You changed my life.
Right on. Stay with it, buddy. Amazing.
All right. Okay. All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, you too. Pete out of Texas. Pete, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All is well, Pete. How are you?
Good. When I was listening to that story of Joel almost getting into a fight at the club.
And getting choked out.
Like, yeah, at first I was like, what the? but then I realized he black, so, you know, I don't blame him for doing what he was going to do. But anyways, I just wanted to get your take on something that I saw the other week. The Mexican president had an interview, and they got into the subject about, you know, drugs coming across the border, which, you know, of course we know is a huge problem. But then they also brought up the fact that drug addiction and drug use in the U.S. is so high, but over there on the Mexican side, it's really low, actually. So they asked the president, you know, why he thought that was. And he said that it's because the people over there have customs, traditions, and, you know, the family stays together. The family structure remains intact. So I kind of just wanted to get your take and see, like, do you agree with him that people usually fall into drug use and addiction due to, like, the lack of family structure?
100%. And we played that soundbite here on the show, I guess earlier this week or last week, and he was right about that. If you notice, the American family is over. It doesn't exist. There are still people kind of family-like, right? But for the most part, the American family is over, and there is no desire in our media and government to bring back the family. He's absolutely right about that.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because, you know, you would think that, you know, since they do have, they're shipping the drugs across the border and everything, that there would be a higher amount of addiction. But, you know, it was just really interesting to me. So,
absolutely. Yeah, we played that earlier. Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it. Super chat.
Carver bought a coffee. Amazing job hosting the show, Sean. Based Globe Smasher. Of course, you know this is going to make the audience demand your own show, so start planning for that.
So Sean took the round earth and smashed it and made it flat. What the?
That's called playing God.
That's right. What the? I can't wait to tell his father.
Indeed.
Amazing. Thank you.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JOPTalk, Mike Young. Hey, Jesse and James Hake. One last.
You know what I said?
Based.
Yeah, sorry, based. You made the earth flat.
Dang.
You go ahead?
I want to say about the election and pray to God that Trump wins back the White House, says Mike Young. But if he doesn't, then Kamala Harris will be the next president because Joe Biden will not last very long. And the attack upon white people will be even more catastrophic than ever before. What do you guys think?
Amazing. I agree. Yeah. What a mess. I agree, man. Amazing. Thank you.
Canadian David says, God bless Haken Yahoo.
Okay.
Because I call, because I like Netanyahu.
Oh, I do too.
Nice.
Netanyahu, Putin, and Trump.
Nice.
The dream team.
And Kim Jong-un.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Oh. The dream team is Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin. Hey, Putin.
And Viktor Orban, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Obiana.
Yep. Hungary nice. Or somewhere?
Yeah.
Canadian David says, where is the fire hose? Referring to those ladies who had their arms linked in the second hour that you played, the top of the second hour.
Oh, yeah. The
pro something
oh,
protesters.
Oh, that's a good point. Normally, the police would take some water and blow them away.
Yeah.
Amazing.
At this point, just call me Mike. Sean, not DePaul, is so white, even more white than Holy Hake, and is a ginger red-haired boy. What the?
He white.
Scream emoji and red-haired man emoji.
He white.
Is his hair sort of reddish?
Who, Sean?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know if that red or...
Dirty blonde.
That what Sean said?
Sandy blonde hair. Yeah, that's what he calls it.
Oh, Sean said dirty blonde, yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. It's dirty blonde.
Someone bought a coffee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aries 1 with diamond, no message. WD.
Thank you.
WD-41 with a couple of diamonds, no message.
Thank you.
Bill West with a diamond. G. Washington warned against foreign entanglements. That's George Washington, the president.
I don't think that you I'm almost convinced now that you shouldn't let foreigners live in your country. If they want to come visit in the right way and then spend some money and then leave. But I don't think races should be put together like that. Because everybody have their own ideas about what, the way things be, and it just starts a war. Let them visit through the front door the right way, but I don't think you should let them live here.
There's enough infighting among the races themselves.
As it is. Amazing. Thank you.
Bill West with a diamond. Oh, no, I already read that one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Evgeny Crosby, two diamonds. These people funding these protests are always the same people, Soros and the ADL.
What a mess, huh? Somebody doing it. It ain't these kids. These kids are being brainwashed. They put them in a pile of group, and they make them all think and say the same thing and control them. Amazing. That's evil.
Canadian David, Rumble subscriber, Nick did a hot ramen challenge?
Oh, yeah. That
was
hot
something.
It
hot noodles.
Mess. Joelle did it.
That was on Joelle Friday TV.
Yeah, Joelle Friday did that.
Check out his 100th episode, Joelle Friday TV.
He black.
Nate Gunn bought five coffees. Hey, everyone, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Dirty Root over on Odyssey, odysee.com/@JesseLeePeterson. 1950s high school had a better education than a bachelor's today.
Yep.
It's a fact, man.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you.
Coffee Talk with Sandra with a diamond. Hold my peace.
If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, then I know the victory shall be mine. Amazing. Thank you.
BM_007 says, Jesse, was the white man's ice colder? Three laughing face sideways with tears coming out.
I don't know. I know I was cold. Amazing. Thank you.
Dawn, Rumble Rant. So a DNA test on those who call themselves Palestinians will come up Egyptian or Syrian. And Jews will come up Israeli. For the older generations, it holds true. They should do a DNA test on Hamas.
That's a good point. Amazing. Thank you.
DJ bought a coffee. Refrigerators weren't invented yet? Double exclamation mark. Jesse, older than dirt.
What the?
God made me and then he made dirt. That I might have something to walk on. Amazing. Thank you.
Coffee Talk with Sandra Diamond. Replays are forever. So good to see everyone.
Nice. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you for your support.
Cactus Eater Bear Diamond, never mind the gun. The guy sat like a beta.
But maybe he was like stunned at what he was looking at, didn't really realize what was going on. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because people fight all the time now, boyfriend, girlfriend, fight in the street. Maybe he just didn't know at first. He was like, but then when he realized, oh, Lord, and he ran.
When you see something in person, it's sort of surreal.
Yeah. You better run nowadays, though, because you have become the citizen that was trying to help the victim, quote unquote, you become the criminal.
Or the victim, even worse.
Right. Look at what's his name in New York. What's his name again?
Daniel Penny, the Marine.
Daniel Penny. We don't even hear about him anymore. And he's struggling, going through whatever he's dealing with the criminal justice system right now. What a mess, huh? Amazing. People ain't going to help you. Really? You on your own. You all try to be bad and stuff like that, but you're really on your own. Thank you.
Five coffees. Hi, Jesse. My life is amazing, and I learn something new daily from you. Thank you. Should I go to my stepdaughter's college graduation? She invited me. However, against her mother's and my advice, she left the house to live with a boyfriend whom she later married after living together for 2 years. The boyfriend never contacted me. The boyfriend, now husband, will be there. I think I should go, but I want to make sure.
You do what you want to do. If you want to go, go. If you don't, don't. But I'll be guilty either way. So you make that clear choice on your own. Don't even ask your wife. Decide what you want to do and do it. Whichever way. Thank you.
Prep Ham Paul, Rumble supporter. Guy has a gun, not worth the risk. He should have tell her, give him your phone. It ain't worth your life. But maybe he was in the middle of his silent prayer. Emoji.
That's right. Who knows? Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet, shout out to my fellow R-words in Roomba chat. You got to know how to Roomba.
That's right.
Like Sleepy Joe, the child sniffer. Love you, fellow R-words. Pepe's laughing. I know, Jesse, I know some whites have been deceived by Jews and they're angry at the Jews. And I love the Jews. Emoji. Jesus holding baby Pepe and leading him along. Emojis and dancing emojis. Thank
Amazing.
You.
Amazing. If you want to go to heaven, one of the requirements, you must have gone over to Israel and walked through the Bible. It's amazing. Thank you.
Henry Ford lives with the diamond. Israel provoking everyone will be their downfall.
Amazing. Thank you.
Coffee Talk, shout out to the top contributors, Coffee Talk with Sandra, Evgeny Crosby, WD41, Cactus Eater Bear, Bill West, Aries One, and the rest of the DLive supporters. And thanks, guys. Let me check. I think that may be all for now. Oh, Daniel in Texas bought a coffee. My question is about all the thoughts in our head. I've been doing the silent prayer, and I feel it is making me crazy. I don't know what to believe anymore. I can get past the emotional part and realize it's not me, but I have trouble with what are practical thoughts now. Is no voice in my head me? Also, I went for a run the other day. Once I got past the thoughts, I felt like I had my body's voice for the first time from watching it while aware. It's crazy.
Amazing. And give me a call about that. That's a lot. I want to ask you some questions. 888-77-JESSE. Call me on that. Very interesting. I understand exactly what you're saying. But for now, and if you do call, until you call, if you call, just watch those thoughts. That's all you need to do. Do nothing else. Don't call them good or bad. Practical thoughts is about when you take a run. That's practical. When you make a meal, that's practical. When you want to drive your car, that's practical. Everything else, let it pass. Thank you.
Steven from Rotterdam, the Netherlands, but now a member on buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk.
Thank you. Amazing.
Love y'all, guys. Be still and know God. Amazing. Exclamation mark.
Thank you for your support. That's amazing.
Elaine, now a member on Buy Me a Coffee, JLP Talk. I'm not racist. I listen to JLP.
There you go. Thank you, Elaine. Amazing.
And Chuck V70, now a monthly subscriber, supporter on Rumble, Jesse Lee Peterson Rumble. Thank you, man.
You got to know how to rumble. Everybody go and support, all right? We got a lot of work to do. So help us to help others. Thank you all. And thank you over there on Rumble.
And thank you, guys. That's all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing. Let me go quick. I can't go quick nowhere. What?
Terrible.
It's up. It's over for this hour.
I'll be back tomorrow, the Lord is willing, and the creek don't rise. Get on that straight and narrow path and stay there. Really. By yourself, you gotta travel this road alone. You can't take anyone along with you. This is one of the times you have to leave everybody behind. They have to go on their own as well. And forgive. Forgive your mothers. For all the human beings in the whole wide world, you gotta forgive your mother. Your mother is your enemy. In that, she can't help it. She's like not intentionally trying to be your enemy. But the hatred in her has been passed on to you. All right, and it's not her, but it's the spirit that made a home in her. So forgive. Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer, and watch. All thoughts, all lies, all the time, about anything except practical thoughts. And check podcast the show if you didn't hear Sean in the first hour, my producer, in the first hour. It was amazing, I'm told. I didn't hear because I was doing another interview. It was amazing. Brendan out of Canada. Pete out of Vermont. And the caller just dropped. I tried to get to you. But if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, I will tomorrow. Manhood hour in the third hour tomorrow, Wednesday. Have a good one. I got to take some brand new shows on the Fall Estate now.
What, Doc?
Amazing. Take care, folks. What's that show I was on yesterday?
Oh, Slightly Offensive, Nightly Offensive with Elijah Schaefer on Rumble and YouTube.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was good to see Elijah again.
Indeed.
Amazing. Check it out, all right? All right, have a good report. The Hake Report is coming up now. The Hake Report. And then enjoy our Friday TV after the Hake, and then the American Anchor Baby after Joy of Friday. Thank you all for your support. Everybody rush in now and support. And the older people that can't use the computer, call 800-411-BOND and get the address and all that if you want to mail it in. Take care, folks. I'm out of time. Amazing. Amazing! So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer, and I want you to start doing it. You just download it, get the points of how to do it, and then after a while, you just do it on your own. It's going to point you in the right direction that your life will be returned to you from God. He will give you your life back, because anyone and all people who has anger, they're not themselves. You are the person that you are angry at. That's why it's so important to get to know yourself so that you can see who you're angry at. And if you're doing the hooping and hollering prayers and things like that, some people get up, oh, praise the Lord, hoop and holler, bless my mama, bless my daddy. Continue to do it. Do both. You will see if you want to stay with the hoop and hollering, or do you want to be still and know God. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church. I noticed after a while that when these guys overcome their anger, they have amazing ideas about starting a business. But because they've been told that if you don't get a loan from the bank, or if you don't have a five-year plan, or if you don't do this, and it's just simply not true, it's the first step. With faith, then all things are possible. So, but the most important thing is to return to the Father. That yearning that you have, that emptiness, that void, is not for more stuff. It's not for more friends. It is a return to the Father, because there's no way you can return to God and be angry at your earthly father. So thank you all so much, right? People around the world donated to Bond at rebuildingdemand.com, or they call 800-411-2663. And we're still committed to pointing the right way for men and women to return to the Father.
Thank you, JLP, J.C. Lee Peterson.